So as you just sang, we will now hear from our good shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ, from Psalm 23. I remind you that we will also turn to Ezekiel 34 and look at a bit of an extended reading. So rather than just read it to you, I think it's always good for you to see it for yourself, the benefit of our generation, all of us able to read and having the scriptures in our language. Let's take advantage of that and not forget how blessed we are to be able to do that and reinforce it by reading it together ourselves. So Ezekiel 34, please have that marked. But we turn to Psalm 23 for our text, and really just Psalm 23, verse 1, and even more specifically, the first half of verse 1 of Psalm 23. I'll read the whole psalm. It is brief. I encourage you to try to draw on all that we studied about Psalm 23 in earlier sermons. I encourage you to look at the imagery of all the ways that it is described and shown and proven to us that the Lord is our shepherd, or more literally, as we've already considered, he is the one shepherding us. The Lord is the one shepherding me at every moment. So hear now the word of God from your shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, or Jehovah Roah. That is the name, the Lord my shepherd, that we study tonight in this series on God's names. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23 was the last of a series a few years ago. I took special requests for a while after we finished the 4.5-year series of the Westminster Larger Catechism. I almost feel like we need a t-shirt that says we survived that, right? No, it was great, but it was long, right? And I was amazed that the Lord brought us through it. So after 4.5 years, we took a break before starting Matthew, and I took special requests. And the very last request was by Olivia. She asked that we would have a sermon in Psalm 23. And so we did. And we revisit it tonight, and we won't go through all the details because of that 4-part series. We actually had 4 long sermons on it, looking a lot by some extra books that I read about what a shepherd does, how he takes care of the sheep, that draws out a lot of this imagery. We won't revisit all that tonight, but what we will do is focus on God's name in verse 1, the Lord's my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi, or Jehovah Roah in the Hebrew, the Lord my shepherd. I always like to ask people, why do you want me to preach on this scripture? And she said, well, I've never heard a sermon on Psalm 23. Well, now you're going to hear your fifth. But she also said, it's just so soothing. Psalm 23 is just so soothing. So as we revisit it tonight, and particularly the name of your good shepherd, you, the sheep of Jesus Christ, may it soothe you to know that Jesus is your constant companion. As we focus on the name, Jehovah Roi, as we focus on the name, the Lord my shepherd, may you be blessed as we draw out that it's emphasizing to you that Jesus is your constant companion. We all need companionship. We all need it constantly. And sadly, sometimes when we feel that there's a lack of it, we try to find it in places and from people we shouldn't go. especially because they will draw us away from our good shepherd. Thankfully, he is the good shepherd. He goes and gets the lost sheep and brings it back and cleans them up. We know all that from the previous sermons. But may we draw closer tonight. May we lay down in the green pastures. May we drink of the still waters. May he restore our souls and cause us in new ways to walk in his paths of righteousness for his own name's sake, but also for our good. There's nothing better than to be with Jesus. There's nothing better than to be close to Jesus. He's our constant companion. May that be said of us toward him. Jesus is your constant companion. Thinking of this, I think of the meaning of shepherd we're going to focus on tonight. The meaning of shepherd reminds me of how I've seen Dona Carmelita taking care of Fernanda these last month or so of pregnancy. She's constantly cooking. She's constantly cleaning. She's constantly serving her daughter's every need, which means she's serving all of our needs. And she's happy to do it. She is a continual, comforting companion for Fernanda. And Fernanda will often say to me, "Oh, my mommy is helping me so much. I don't know how we could do it without her. It's just so nice to have my mommy here." She's always at her side. So sometimes by the way, I'm observing all this because I am too. I am her husband. I have to be careful not to compete. Let her minister to her daughter. Because she's always there. She's respectful, don't worry. But she's always there. And what's really beautiful that I do observe, because I'm always there too, is that she's always caressing her daughter. And sometimes when her daughter is sleeping, she'll often just sit down if we're sitting and watching a movie. And frankly, by observation, sometimes you only need to observe with your ears. Her daughter is sleeping during the movie, which is understandable right now. She's extremely exhausted. She still wonders why. We keep trying to remind her, "You are very pregnant." And, her mother is always doting on her and attending to her even while she sleeps and will touch her arm and just care about her even while she sleeps. And see, that's the way Christ is taking care of you as the good shepherd. He's constantly caring for you even while you sleep. He's always there, always watching over you, feeding you, tending to you, touching you, even when you don't know. He's looking at you, watching you. Verse 1, the first part. The Lord is my shepherd. More literally, the Lord my shepherd. More literally still, the Lord shepherding me. The Lord, the one shepherding me. As I've shared already, the word shepherd is not a noun. And we did look at that before, but for some reason it really stood out to me more this time. As I was praying to God, what do I do with this? Sometimes the simple things are the hardest to do with sermons. And I was praying, "Lord, please show me where to go with this." And I was remembering the emphasis on some of the other ways to translate shepherd we'll look at in a moment. And it just brought me to the idea of companion and the idea of this constant companion, because it's literally the one shepherding me. It is a participle. It's a verb. It's not a noun. What are verbs? What do you learn in school? What are verbs? Action words, right? Action words. I studied that word in the Hebrew. I looked all over, and anywhere I find the word shepherd, even when it's just talking about humans, literal shepherds, it's always a verb participle. As far as I can tell, it's never a noun in the Hebrew. It's always a verb participle. It's always the one shepherding. It's never the shepherd. It's actually literally the one shepherding. Well, isn't that's because that's exactly what a shepherd does, just as we always say a mother's work is never done, right? Perhaps we could say the one mothering me, the one fathering me, but especially Jesus, God, is the one shepherding me. It's always a verb. You see, God is always present. He's always actively present. He's always actively pastoring you at every moment. You might find yourself sort of looking up, "Ah, the Lord, the one shepherding me. Isn't that something? It brings it a little closer for me somehow. It's a little more like, you open your eyes for a moment, oh, the Lord's shepherding me. He's always there shepherding. He's always there taking care of you, watching over you. Because God is constantly caring for you and constantly caring about you, you always will have all you need in His personal presence. I think that's the idea of the psalm, especially the idea of the first verse, right? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one shepherding me. Therefore, I shall not want. And what does that mean? I won't lack anything that I need. I will never lack anything. And even things that come to me sometimes that I don't want, if you allow me to play on the words, they are what we need because God knows best. And often He gives the sheep what they don't want, but it's what keeps them alive and healthy. You can go back to all the series of sermons on Psalm 23 to bear that out. But let's think about that original four-part series of Psalm 23. Let me give you the main point that when we focused on certain parts of the whole psalm and then the sermon point from that main point. There's four of them. Remember, He is the one shepherding you. And so here's what that looks like. Here's how we know. The first sermon, David says he comforts himself with assurance of perseverance due to God's ever-present personal care. And the message was, your good shepherd will always guide you. The next sermon was focusing on aspects of the psalm that led us to see this main point. God will always guide you where you can eat. He will ensure that you do eat whether you want to or not, and that you eat only the best. The message was, your good shepherd will always provide for you. The third sermon, focusing on different aspects of the psalm, taught the main idea that was being focused on. God's guidance will always protect you from dangerous enemies, sibling rivalry, and I think, again, as I mentioned this morning, probably the thing most dangerous to you of all things, and of course I'm preaching to myself, your own self-stupidity. Remember that it is not something that's impressive. It's impressive that God is our shepherd, but what does it mean that we are the sheep? Remember, it bears repeating. It means we're stupid. Sheep are dumb animals, and it's very, very difficult to take care of them. I remind you that in Pittsburgh, you might not think of it, but it's actually a lot of rural areas around the city, and where we lived, one of the elders in our church, who is now with the Good Shepherd, but at that time, he took care of cattle. He said, I used to take care of sheep. They're too hard to take care of. So I switched to cattle. You see, Jesus is taking care of us, and we need Him to protect us, and we need Him especially to protect us from ourselves. You can remember a little bit of the imagery. I'll try not to go to the other sermons too much, but a sheep often falls in the water, and it'll drown itself there. Just can't get up. Sometimes sheep will die when they've gotten into a hole somewhere in the lawn, and they just can't get themselves up. They need the Good Shepherd to come and actually literally lift them up and put their legs back under them. The fourth message, focusing on aspects of the psalm, taught us that the Good Shepherd, your Good Shepherd, increases the contentment of His sheep with His continual pleasing presence. Your Good Shepherd increases the contentment of His sheep with His continual pleasing presence. Remember that with Hebrews 13, verse 5, with what we'll look at later there. I want to think about this again. Those are all examples of the fact that the Lord is shepherding me. He's actively present. He's actively present. And as we read through it, something jumped out to me again that I hadn't remembered to go back to, but I think it says it more literally by experience. Did you see it? The Lord is shepherding me. The Lord is constantly present, pastoring me. That's in verse 4. I won't be afraid. Why? For thou art with me. The Lord is shepherding me. Everywhere I look, anywhere I go, when I'm sleeping, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm with others, when I'm alone, God is always with me. He's the one shepherding me. He's my constant companion. And of course, because of his omnipresence, he's the only one that can be your constant companion. And frankly, because of his omniscience, he's the only one that truly can be your constant companion, because he knows what you're thinking before you even ask, Jesus says. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your past, present, and future. And as Psalm 139 teaches, he knew you in your mother's womb when you were a tiny embryo just conceived. And the reason you were conceived is because he put you there to be conceived. He's the one that gave you life, and at the very moment of that conception, Psalm 139 teaches he was there with you. In some marvelous, mysterious way. Genesis 49, verse 24, says that what the Bible shows, the mighty God of Jacob is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. God is the good shepherd of his sheep. He is always with his church. You see, it's not just individual. Sheep live in community, never alone. They'll die alone. Sheep are brought and kept in the flock. If they get lost, they're brought back to the flock. He's the good shepherd that keeps his sheep together and watches over them. That word shepherd means to pastor, to bring to pasture. It means to tend to care for. It means to associate with. You know, again, it's a verb participle. You could say it's a pastor. He's an associate. He's a friend. It could be translated friend. The Lord is my friend. It's amazing to stop and think about saying that, isn't it? Again, we don't have many friends, and you know, as we often say, when you go through difficult times, that's when you really know who your friends are, and then you are really loyal to them and extremely thankful for them. And you usually can count them on one hand, if you even need all five digits, right? And what we're told is the Lord is our friend. And oh, how we need a friend. But no one can be that constant companion wherever we go like Jesus. You know, it's not wrong to say that God is your friend. That might sound too intimate. It doesn't mean he's not also Almighty God and your Lord and King, but he also will call you his friend, and he will have you call him your friend. James says that believing Abraham was called the friend of God. And if you are sons of Abraham, then by necessary consequence, and just even more directly, he's your friend as your shepherd. Jesus says to you, his disciples, ye are my friends. Now just stop and think about that. He couldn't even rely on his friends, right? Goes up to the Mount of Transfiguration, comes back, they're always sleeping on him. And at one point, he couldn't even have the fellowship of his Father while he died on the cross for you and me. He knew the blessing of companionship. And he says to you, this is the Lord God Almighty come from heaven, who doesn't need you, but has made you his friends. He says, ye are my friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. You see, he says, you're my friends, and I show you this because I confide in you. I share with you what I bring from my Father. You might think about it like this. When you feel really honored and special, it's when you're at someone's house and they're not just hanging out with you. They want to bring out their albums and they want to show you their special heirlooms from their father and their mother. They're really treating you as close friends because they're bringing intimate artifacts and things that identify who they are. And Jesus is saying, you're my friends. I have revealed the things to you from my father, and I've made him your father, and I've made you my brothers and sisters. You are my friends. I want to spend my whole life with you. I want to spend eternal life with you. I have made you the household and family of God. I'm going to bring you on the last great day into my Father's house, and you're going to enjoy it, and you're going to love it with me forever, body and soul. A friend is a companion who confides in you as you confide in him. So remember, pray, talk to God, and remember, God talks to you. Remember, Romans 8 teaches that if you don't have words, the Holy Spirit in you will cry out and groan for you, and the Father will understand and receive it. Now that's intimate friendship. That is intimate fellowship. A friend, a companion, is one who chooses to spend personal time with you and always cares about you and always cares for you. And God is saying, that's me. I'm your shepherd. My name is the Lord, my shepherd. My name is the Lord shepherding me. John 10, verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He says that already a little earlier with another illustration, laying down his life for you. But in particular, here the fellowship. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. That doesn't just mean he identifies you. He identifies with you. It doesn't mean you have your identity in him. You are in union in and with him. I know my sheep and am known of mine. They know me and I know them. He's speaking about familiar fellowship. The Lord's my shepherd is a very intimate, familiar fellowship. Friendly, mutually endearing, mutually interested, mutually invested in one another. And by far, beloved, Jesus is your best friend who sticks closer to you than a brother. I ask you to turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, where we can hear what God says to you a little bit more about what it means that he is your shepherd, a little bit more imagery of how he's with you and takes care of you. I ask you all to open your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel 34 together. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is shepherding me. Jehovah Roi, Jehovah Roah. Ezekiel 34, beginning with verse 11. Hear now the word of God, your good shepherd. And in the context, he's speaking about himself in contrast to bad shepherds who fake it only to take advantage of you and then leave you. The good shepherd sacrifices himself for you and never leaves. And so in that contrast, he's emphasizing himself as the true good shepherd to you. Beginning in verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh not his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away. Look ahead with me to verse 22, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And before I continue, you know this is speaking of the Son of David, Jesus Christ. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke, and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Before we continue, remember verse 4. I won't be afraid because you are with me. Verse 29, and I will raise up from them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. You see, he describes in the first person taking care of you in the second person very similarly to Psalm 23. He's affirming that, and he describes what it will look like. Naturally, it has in view bringing the people back into the promised land, renewed, revived, more holy, ready to live again. But of course, you can see beyond that to the true perfect promised land of the new heavens and the new earth. And you can see that he is the one shepherding you, bringing you all the way there. And remember that the shepherd is a good shepherd when he brings you from one pasture to the next so that you don't run out of grass and you keep going to where the good and best grass is. So the Lord is shepherding you here and there, bringing you along the way until you lay down in the green pastures of the eternal promised land, where the grass will never run dry and never run out and be so sweet and tasty and wonderful to eat and to lie in. And you will walk in the river of life and you won't be afraid. Notice that regular idea of you will not be afraid. Remember to lie down by the still waters. Sheep are scared of just a little trickle of water. So the good shepherd helps you settle so that you will drink. And when you get to heaven, there will be no fear. And you will eat and drink and be completely satisfied. In the meantime, Jesus will always be with you. He will always be there for you. Let your conversation be without covetousness. and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So as you cry out, as David did in Psalm 51, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Oh, what a blessed assurance that he is the one shepherding you. He says, I never ever will. Yeah, you dumb, stupid sheep, I should, but I never ever will. Why? Because I am the one shepherding you. I am the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd of the sheep. I don't leave you. Beloved, you have never gone through anything without him. And he will always take you through everything in him. He watches over you while you sleep at night. And when you open your eyes in the morning, he greets you with a smile of new mercies and joy. He gets you up and he guides you on your way that day. And can't you with me each and every day lie down your head and get up and go through the day with all of its challenges and say, the Lord is shepherding me. Jehovah Roah, Jehovah Roah, the Lord, my shepherd, the Lord is shepherding me. How fitting it is today, with no plan, that the bulletin quote by William Secker reads as follows, and you can look at it if you like in the right section of the inside of your bulletin. I'll repeat it for you. Let your condition be so flourishing, it is nevertheless a hell without him. Let your condition be ever so fluctuating, it is nevertheless a heaven with him. Remember, God says in Genesis 15 to exhausted, worn out Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Beloved, be content in all things because Jesus is your constant companion. There will be times of life you might be surrounded by a sea of faces, some of them very close, some of them very far, where you find yourself saying, I'm utterly alone. Or there may be times where you practically are utterly alone. And you have to remember to say, ah, I'm never alone. Jehovah Roi, the Lord my shepherd. The Lord is shepherding me. Jesus is your constant companion. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From this time forth and forevermore, Jesus is your constant companion. Let us thank him. O Lord, we pray the words of Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are such a great shepherd to us. Thank you that you are always with us and that you are our friend. Thank you for your omnipresent friendship. Thank you for your omniscient friendship. Thank you for your intimate friendship by the Spirit that dwells within us. Indeed, bless us with contentment, for we need nothing else. You are our exceeding great reward. O Lord, our shepherd, Jehovah Roi, let us sense your special pastoral presence And let us be blessed by your closeness. And let us spend time better and more close and intimate and often with our best friend. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. We pray in the name of Jehovah Rohi, the Lord shepherding us. Amen. Your good shepherd, always shepherding you, now holds his hands out over you, his sheep, and says, "Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."